Hi, my name is Sarah, hailing from Germany, outside of Heidelberg at the moment. I'm a songwriter and a podcaster. Power Bites isn't a power trip. Think of it like a power bar to encourage you and me and challenge you and me to keep up our race together. Thanks for listening.
Okay, we're continuing on today. We're going to talk about injustice. But let's pray. God, I pray that you teach us through your word, show us that you are the God of the past, the present, and the future, that anything that we need to understand, anything that we need to clarify in our lives, the answers can be found in your word. It is powerful. It divides truth from fiction, half-truths from white lies. I pray that you would use your word to penetrate our hearts and align us to this overwhelming cause that is justice. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're gonna dive into a little bit how Nehemiah was most likely overwhelmed by, it wasn't just there's walls that need to be put back. It wasn't like that, okay? It was way deeper than that. And so we'll just get to talking about Judah, Israel. We're going to read 4:10. Thus in Judah, it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing. Yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Now let's jump over to chapter 5. Now, there was a great outcry of the people and of their wives against their Jewish brothers. For there were those who said, we, our sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore, let us get grain that we may eat and live. There were others who said, we are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our houses that we might get grain because of the famine. Also, there were those who said, I have borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards. Now our flesh is like the flesh of our brothers and our children like their children. Yet behold, we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters are forced into bondage already. And we are helpless because of our fields and vineyards belong to others. Then I was very angry. And when I had heard their outcry and these words, I consulted with myself. Let's stop right there. When we are faced with evidence of injustice, hopefully you're at a point where you're starting to see things that you didn't see before. You're starting to understand. If you need a starting point, Phil Vischer, who put out this video about systemic racism, I would look that up. If you need a starting point, if you need to know where I'm coming from. When we are faced, let's jump to here. When we are faced with injustice on all sides, okay? Our first response is to lash out against it, minimize it, throw it under the rug. It doesn't exist. You guys, you know, you're all making it up. That's not what Nehemiah did. His example to us is to ask ourselves, to simply ask ourselves. Now, this is a little side. This is not what's in the scripture. But some things that we could ask ourselves when we're faced with injustice is, what is my part if simply I've overlooked it for too long? It could be that. What is my part If indeed I have looked at other people as inferior. We're not being specific here, could be a different place of origin, it could, you know, whatever. Have I harbored ill feelings toward certain classes of people? He consults himself. The first question that was asked him was, let us get grain. That is a question, I'm assuming, because I don't have any other indicator, that this is a question posed to Nehemiah. That can be overwhelming if you don't have the power to give the grain, right? You and I don't have the power as single individuals to give back dignity to Black Americans. All of them. We don't. We simply do not have that power in and of ourselves singly. Singularly. We don't have this. So, no, and since that's not on the cards, you can lay that down. Okay? What is being asked and what Nehemiah consults himself with is how can he make a move toward a different him? How can he, and you'll see what he does, how can he make a move in a different direction? This is singular. This is on you. This is on me. This is taking my preconceived notions, taking my assumptions that they've gotten the same opportunities that I have and they just need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps or just whatever just flows out. Whatever just flows out from our heart. This isn't true. I'm going to deny your suffering because it's too uncomfortable. I mean, I've been there, okay? So I've been there. It's too much. It's too much. My core belief was that everybody was treated fairly in these United States. I'm not in the United States, I'm in Germany. But that everyone was treated fairly. That's it. And so when someone gave me a different narrative, when someone showed me a different narrative, what is my first response? When it is such a core value, when it's held on so tightly, Nehemiah didn't have this problem. It was staring at him in the face. We have an insidious, is that the word? Problem. It hides. It's in plain view if you look. That's the thing. It's in plain view if you look. But you have to get over the tracks. Right? You have to be looking around. You have to be asking questions. How? In our church. It starts in the church. Do they feel, they, quote unquote, feel welcomed? Are we listening as much to Black voices as white voices? And when you just put that on the table, we've got a long, long way to go. When we just put that on the table, what voices are the loudest? What voices are normally the loudest? I'm not throwing stones because I've been here. The voices that are normally the loudest are the ones that are most like us. The ones that we let be the loudest in our ears are the ones that are most, that we feel are the most like us. Because everything else is scary. Everything else might catch us off guard. Everything else is unpredictable. We're not serving Jesus anymore. Right? We're serving our sense of security. When we serve our sense of status quo, our sense of security, and we'll keep reading, who Nehemiah addresses. When we serve that, we're no longer serving Christ. So Nehemiah has dropped down into vast injustice. And he consulted himself and contended with the nobles and rulers and said to them, "You are exacting usury, all forms of rent over, when injustice is big, the system is bigger." Okay? When injustice is big, the system is equal or bigger. Okay? It wasn't one guy from his house killing 6 million Jews during World War II, right? That's not, no, not possible. When justice is rampant, the system is equal or bigger. Okay? So we are talking about systemic racism. This is from a source. This has a backdrop. This has a history. This is ongoing. You cannot sell this house to black people. Written in the Bible, in the deed. In Chicago. Okay? Most, the prisons are filled with mostly blacks. They're not even most of the population, but it's filled with mostly blacks. For a crime that has no victim. I'm talking about drugs. It's a victimless crime. So he addresses, he goes to the issue. The issue. Nobles and rulers, and said to them, "You are exacting usury, each from his brother. Therefore, I held a great assembly against them." He protested. He said to them, "We, according to our ability, have redeemed our Jewish brothers who were sold to the nations. Now would you even sell your brothers that they may be sold to us?" Then they were silent and could not find a word to say. This is unjust. There are real protesters out there, not paid for Antifa, not far left terrorists or whatever they are, Marxists, I don't know what they are, but there are real protesters out there. This, the way black Americans are treated by the police, is unjust. Is unjust. I'll give you my own example. I got into drug use probably my first year of college. Wasn't anything heavy because God had his hand on me. But one night, it was my birthday. I was on acid and shrooms, and my car was surrounded by cops. I mean, I lived in Podunk, nothing town. My car was surrounded by cops. I got out of my car to argue with the cop. I'm not dead. Okay? He yelled back, and I sat on the side because I was on acid, and that was overwhelming. But I got probation. I was on probation. I did it again 1 month later. Acid and shrooms again. Ran around half naked in my town. Climbed on a cop car. I'm not dead. I'm not dead. And I'm not in jail. Okay? There is a vast difference between how a black, it's worse for males, I think, a black person is treated and a white person is treated when it comes to law enforcement. Now, I'm not going to get into the argument. There's no way I would say all cops are bad. There's no way I would say all cops are good. I think both sides are blind. This is not possible. I am not one to say corruption could never come. A lot of police departments are based in corruption. You just have to be looking around. You just have to listen to the other side of the story. My dad was a defense attorney. They lied all the time. Stole drugs all the time. Are some of them really trying to do the right thing? Absolutely. Some of them absolutely are not doing the right thing. And they know it. But it's expedient for them to arrest people when there are no consequences. There's immunity for their actions. This is steep. This is unjust. This is wrong. And Nehemiah protests. You're using your own brothers and sisters. Knock it off. They had nothing to say. No, there isn't anything to say when your knee has been on somebody for 8 full minutes. There's nothing to say. It's do not pass go. Go directly to jail. It doesn't matter if you have a badge and a suit. It should not be. So what I'm saying when I bring that up is that when there is vast, I'll repeat it again, when there is vast injustice, there is a system in place that's equal or greater. Because it's just not possible otherwise, right? It's not possible. So how we break it up, and the only way to break it up is the gospel of Jesus Christ through the testimony of the church. Looking for the oppressed. Jesus told us to do this. Be mindful of the oppressed. Seek out the widow and the orphan so that you know that your religion is pure. Help those around you that you can help. Be the kind of white person that would go in between, that would shine a light, that would say something. Again, I said, the thing which you are doing is not good. You should not walk. No, is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God? Have you no shame? It's exactly what I felt like screaming at that cop through the screen. Have you no shame? None? I don't care what he did. I don't care how he lived. Nothing. That is not relevant. It's not relevant. Have you no shame? I mean, these people are selling their kids off. We wouldn't be looking at that like, oh yeah, you're upstanding. Mm-hmm. Well, he sold his kid off. Of course, you know, of course he could. I mean, yeah, no, it was sad that he put his knee on him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he was selling kids off. it is not a good idea to stay high and lifted up above these situations. And Nehemiah, what did he do? Consulted himself and addressed the problem, protested against the problem. He gathered a big group and said, No, he didn't remove himself. He didn't paint it a different color. He didn't shame the people that had been forced to sell their kids off. He didn't say, well, you're selling your kids off. It took a listening ear and feet with action to be the difference. It's the same for us. It takes a listening ear and it takes feet with action. Now, the context here in Germany is way different. Racism is different. You're fine if you've acclimated to the culture. You're not fine if you haven't acclimated to the culture. That's the dividing line. It's got nothing to do with color. But it hasn't been systemically put in place. It is a big problem in the States. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? And likewise I, my brothers and my servants, are lending them money and grain. Please let us leave off this usury. And one more thing as we end is that he owned it. Please let us leave. Was he doing that? No. Is someone saying that you are going around killing black people? No. But it does take a little bit of ownership. And on this basis alone, that we've looked away from it. I grew up just thinking I needed to stay away from Mexicans and people that were wearing the red and blue bandanas. Just driving on a different side of town. That's as much as I thought about them and Mexican food. When I got to high school, I had more friends. And they were from every kind of background, but still, you know, middle class. To look at somebody and to see red bandanas or blue bandanas, to see a political side or another political side, to see these identifying markers that have been told to us to protect ourselves against that. You know, when Hitler needed to make a case for killing Jews, what did he have to label them with? He had to label them, and there were kids' books. They're really gross about, you know, they steal things, and they're conniving. And you would see these pictures, this propaganda about how they were a certain kind of... This is the only way that it could get by, but you know what? It got by. And when we stop seeing people as created in God's image, and this is where it starts with the church. This is why it starts with the church. This is the church's responsibility. When we stop seeing people and start seeing our labels, we've got nothing to offer this world. And we certainly don't have justice to offer. God is just. And he's working justice whether you're on that side or not. I don't want to get to the end of this life and be surprised that certain justices came and I wasn't ready for them because they're going to be fierce. They're going to be fierce. Wives that were treated unequally. Black people that sat in the back of the church. Hispanics that were looked over for a job. Black children that had to hide from policemen. Because when it comes down, it's going to be scary. And I don't want to be one of those people that was surprised. Peace out.
Okay, thanks for listening. Join me for the next part of this series, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, usually, you know. I'll let you know. Find Underground Crowds on Twitter or undergroundcrowds.com.